Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast is a Christ-centered podcast. Established in 2019 and hosted weekly by Pastor Chris Buescher. Addressing a host of topics such as the Great Commission, Christian discipleship, and often featuring interviews with special guests who are experts in their field. The views and events expressed on this podcast and all related materials belong solely to their author and not necessarily to the author's employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. While all attempts are made to present accurate information, some information may become outdated over time. Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast makes every attempt to timely update any and all such information. Without further delay, here's another powerful episode of Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast. Once again, my name is Dallas. We have another amazing author and guest joining us today, Kevin Harrington. Kevin, such a pleasure to have you. How are you?
Good, Dallas. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited.
It's a pleasure. You were saying that you are a fan of the podcast. You listened to several of our episodes over the last several weeks and months. And so thank you, Kevin, for listening to our episodes as well. And now you're here to join and to share your story as well. So thank you.
I really enjoyed it. I caught you on YouTube and I caught like three or four, actually. And it's on my podcast on my Apple. So I'm going to be listening to it more often. You know, I need that. I need it every day, man. You know,
that's so good. So good. And today we're going to talk about your book, Fish and Water, An Irishman's Journey to Sobriety. And so before we get into that, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, Kevin, your family, your home life, a little bit about what that's like. And then we'll go into the book itself from there.
Okay. Well, I'm 61. I've been married for, 30, it'll be 34 years this year to the love of my life. And, you know, I have two boys, 32 and 29, you know, and when I first, you know, met my wife, there was still a lot of drinking going on, and I guess it didn't really take a toll, you know. But I had a good job in Wall Street. I was a broker. I am still a broker, and I entertain, and it just led me to, you know, I started drinking when I was young, Dallas. I started drinking when I was probably 12, 13. You know, I tasted it. I liked it, and then by sixth, seventh grade, every weekend with my friends, a lot of fun. You know, Boy Scouts getting caught with drinking, smoking cigarettes and stuff. And, you know, just led me to liking it. And it didn't really play a negative role in my life. I was a smart guy. I went to Catholic grammar school with the nuns for 8 years. And I was an altar boy, Irish Catholic. My parents are from Ireland. And, you know, I just grew up a lot around, you know, alcohol at the barbecues and, you know, family functions. I wouldn't say my parents were alcoholic, but they liked to, you know, drink. And anyway, you know, I just I met Janice and I got married and I had a boy. I had my son, my first son. And honestly, I really felt I celebrated his birth probably, you know, for about a year and a half. You know, what I mean, which is so exciting. But celebrating for me, you know, where I worked was always entailed the bar, you know, and honestly, the hangovers got super, super intense. And then I would have to wake up and go to work at 5:36 in the morning to, you know, to trade currencies. And I remember the first day that I turned around and took that morning drink. You know, it was shameful. And I did it. And it was like after that, if I had a rough night, I would try to either go to the gym or I would have a drink. Fast forward probably a couple of years with that. My son was about two. I had gone out to lunch with a dear friend of mine from college, and he looked great. I got there on a Friday at a place near City Hall in Manhattan, and he met me. I was already there. I had a Bloody Mary. I had a Heineken. I was feeling better because I needed to take the edge off, you know, and he came in. He looked great. Club soda he ordered, which, you know, kind of threw me, and he proceeded to tell me a story that he's been sober for about a year and a half, 2 years, and he gave me a meeting list. For Alcoholics Anonymous, which I've never heard of that. I don't even know if I heard the phrase. I'm surprised. They should have pointed me toward that a long time before that. But anyway, I took that meeting list a couple months later. I went on a business trip, came. I missed a plane flight, came back to the office later that day. A guy called me in, shut the door, and asked me the first time ever in my life, Kevin, do you have a drinking problem? And I have to tell you, you know, it's in the book, but I was drinking it had a coffee cup, but it was beer in it, acting like it was coffee. And I looked at him, I go, absolutely. And he didn't know what to say. Like his whole, you know, he was ready to tell me about, you know, employment assistance program, maybe a rehab, the whole deal. And he goes, well, what do you want to do about it? And I says, you know what, a dear friend of mine stopped drinking. He had given me a meeting list. And you know what? It was Thursday. I took the Friday off. I went to my first meeting. It was December of 93.
Wow.
And that started my journey, you know. So, and I'll tell you, since then, it's been, you know, every day for the first 7 years of meeting. Sometimes in the morning before work, then maybe at lunch. And then I started speaking, which really shook the truth out of me. Then I was like feeling shaky. And I got involved with a social worker who was involved with alcoholics. And I saw her once a week. And I never seen it. No, nobody in my family ever went to a counselor or a psychiatrist or whatever. No, nobody would ever talk about that. You know, just get up in the morning and go to work and come home. And that's it, you know. And she started recommending to me to start journaling. That's what it comes up with the book. I was here at COVID. Now, fast forward, I stayed sober for 6 months. I went out for a night, and then I came back in and I got serious. And now it'll June 12th to be 30 years, and it
Wow.
goes quick. I know. And you know, a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, why'd I write the book, Dallas? Honestly, this came as a shock to me. But my father died in 18. My mother died in, like, I think 2021. But I found a eulogy that I had written for my father's funeral. And I was working home probably 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and I found it and I wasn't able to read it at the funeral, you know, because I was upset. I remember the assistant at the church asked me, okay, Kevin, stand up there and do it. 30 seconds, I was like, you know, a bucket of tears, you know, I couldn't do it. And it bothered me. So I found the eulogy and I was just like, you know what? This recovery thing, you don't drink, things go well for me outside, but sometimes feeling that stuff, that fear. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I was feeling, and I wanted to get deeper, you know. And I looked up about, I said, I was doing searches. What is a memoir? You know what I mean? And then I remember that social worker back in 94. In 94, I was seeing her, 95, and she started journaling. I still had those journals from like 94. I can read them, and a lot of the
Wow.
same, like, patterns of fear, you know, like it, you know, being an alcoholic, man, like that kind of thinking people relate to. That's the biggest thing, the connection I get with a fellow alcoholic or an addict, because they say, wow, man, I think the same way as that, you know. Anyway, I started journaling. Honestly, a month later, I was waking up at 3 in the morning because I was thinking about writing. I bought a laptop, the one I'm speaking on now, and I started writing. Before you know it, it looked like 70 pages, 80 pages, 90. So I started making an outline. I said, how do you write a book? I never wrote a book. Honestly, if you look back at my career in high school and college, I wasn't a stupid guy, but I was more into, I played sports and I just wanted to pass my grades. In grammar school, my mother was the disciplinarian, straight A's with the nuns. High school, easy to get grades in public school, you know. And in college, I got my degree. I don't know how, but I did. I didn't want to come home from upstate New York without my degree. And, you know, anyway, I started writing, and next thing you know, I called the publisher, and she's like, you know, she was very, okay, did you ever write a book? Okay, what's your story? And I told her, and she was like very, very silent. It seems to me like when I meet a lot of people with this story I have, they always have some, the person always has a loved one, a friend, a family member that has touched them, you know. And I said, I'll send you a chapter. And she sent it to me. I sent it to her. She's like, send it all to me. I want to do this, you know. And it's taken off from there, you know. So it's an exciting time. It's
Wow.
you know, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
So.
Kevin, thank you for sharing that. You were answering a lot of my questions that I had as you were just talking there. But one other question I was thinking of, one of the first things you mentioned were about your children, your sons. And so just as you were experiencing this sobriety, you said 30 years now, what was it like raising your sons? And did you raise your sons in any different way after that you had this conviction of your alcohol and, you know, kind of encountered that?
Sure. Honestly, I looked at when I first got sober, me picturing myself, first of all, I wasn't sure I was ever going to get married. And then I met this girl, you know how that goes. It's like, boom, you know, and then having my son. And then I had some examples in my early childhood of relatives or friends or neighbors that were alcoholic. And I seen what was happening. And I says, you know what? There's no way I want to be a part of that. But I was scared too. You know, truth be told, the fear in my stomach, I couldn't take it. And honestly, you know, maybe the last couple of years of my drinking, even the morning drinking sometimes, well, you know, I'm not sure if you have any experience with that, but I'll tell you, you know, you wake up after maybe, you know, all that drinking or doing some drugs, you know, possibly, and then getting to work. On the way to work, you have your two or three beers, a little Visine, eat, chew some gum, and next thing you know, you got to go back out at 8:30, 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock to feed that beast, right? That was going on for a while. Or I would go to the gym, and that's how I dealt with that. But, you know, it felt like it was like a, you know, a panicky feeling, I was actually. And I didn't want to lose my job, and I had to make work because I had been fired maybe. You know, my alcoholism over the course of even my whole life popped its head up, losing a job, a relationship, a friendship. You know, stuff like this. Did I look at that really, you know, closely? I could rationalize my behavior because it was their fault somehow. You know what I mean? And they were missing out. That's how this alcoholic thinks. Okay. And as soon as I was met, the first meeting I never forget, man, I said to myself, what are they paying this guy to speak here? You know what I mean? Like, and if you know of anything about recovery, they're helping themselves by sharing their story.
Right.
And the connection that night, I met one guy, he goes, give me a number. He had a guy call me. I never met the guy. We were on the phone for an hour and a half. That's the start of my journey, honestly. And he was like, you know what? You're not so unique. And, you know, we can give you some direction to take. I started reading everything about alcoholism, about everything, you know, and yeah. Now I've just, yeah. So that's it, you know, and the kids, by the way, you said the kids,
yeah, with your boys,
with my boys growing up, they didn't see me drink ever. Kevin didn't see me drink. He was two. Sean, Janice was pregnant. Well, my wife was pregnant with Sean June 11th when I last drank. So he never seen me drink. And, you know, they have their own journey. And that's another story. You know what I mean? But I tried to raise my boys. I was involved with everything from schoolwork to coaching, you know, to, you know, working hard, saving money, going to college, the whole deal, you know, and trying to be no temper. You know, I grew up in a different situation, reaction. It's a lot of reaction, you know, and I'm still working on that today, you know, honestly. Praying every morning. I mean, I have three or four books that I read every morning. I try to. I can read the same page 8 times and I don't know what it said because my head's somewhere else. You know that feeling. But having said that, when I say stuff like that to people, I see you going like this because you know what? This is important. Patience, love, tolerance, forgiveness, kindness. The kinder I am to people, for some reason, days come along. And this ain't me talking. This is kind of like I hear from people, but I was an Irish Catholic. I said my three prayers at night growing up as soon as I was able to do it with my brothers and sisters. Our Father, Hail Mary, Act of Contrition. You know, I got all the sacraments, you know. I love going to church. The best thing I've ever heard, you know, religion's for people who don't want to go to hell. Spirituality's for people who've been to hell. And I felt like when I came back, it's an action. Every day has to be an action. It just can't be like, okay, come upon me.
Right.
I told my fault, you know, so that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes sense. We have to do something with what we learned, right? Or that's insanity, expecting different results, but doing the same thing over and over, right?
Absolutely.
Literally insanity.
You're listening to the Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast. We'll be right back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Discover the power of faith in your everyday life with Keep Moving Forward podcast, hosted by Tom O'Leary. Gain practical guidance and inspiration from a Christian perspective, no matter the challenges you face. Embrace positivity and love, leaving guilt and fear behind. All are welcome to experience the uplifting impact of faith. Listen to more episodes and support this inspiring podcast at tomoleary.org. Move forward with hope and purpose. Discover the power of faith-driven marketing with Jesus Revolution Marketing. They're here to amplify your message as a Christian artist and boldly share Jesus with the world. Their specialized services create an online presence that shines His light. Ready to transform your impact? Visit www.jesus-revolution.ca and let's revolutionize your ministry through the digital age. Jesus Revolution Marketing, where faith meets marketing excellence.
And so the title, I want to touch on that. So you have the title Fish and Water. And so if you can just break that down for us as well, that would be great.
You know what? I tell you the truth. I was writing one morning. And I think, by the way, when I was waking up at 3 a.m., my wife looked at me. She thought I was having a breakdown. She's like, what? I go, Janice, I'm writing a book, which I didn't tell her at first. So anyway, I woke up one morning. I started writing. And it says, alcohol and the problems it caused. You simply woven into the fabrics of life from the day I was for being Irish. And being an alcoholic is like a fish swimming in water. It was just part of the story, man. It was part of the story. Alcohol, and what comes with that, you know. And plus, I'm a fisherman. That's probably what too. Like I do, I have a lot of analogies for fish. I loved to fish when I was younger. I started making some money, and when I was 6 years sober, I bought a big boat. Not a big boat, but I never had a boat, so 27 foot, and 25 years later, I still have that boat. I'm a captain. A Coast Guard certified, and my boys and me love to fish, and it's like a love, you know. I wake up early because of the job I've had. I wake up at 4. I've been waking up at 4:20 since, you know, 85, 86, and I like waking up early. It's quiet. You can get your readings done. It's a good time, and to be a fisherman, they say early, you know, the early bird gets the worm, and so, you know what I mean? I get out there early, but, you know, the fish in water, it just was like, it just came to me one day, and alcohol just came with the scenery. You know, again, my parents weren't an alcoholic. I saw a lot of alcohol, but when I tasted it, it just really enhanced things. It was like Technicolor. That's right. The way I look at it, you know. Drugs too, they kind of scared me toward the end too. I didn't like that, but I liked in the beginning. It was fun, but alcohol was always fun, and then it turned on me. You know, and I had to do something about it. And it's been a blessing that I was able to get the help I needed. That's in my book. That was my higher power looking out for me. Honestly, that was God like looking out for me. I had so much pain. I wrote in the book one day that I was going to work. I drank on the train, got in that subway platform, and that 2 or 3 train was coming down. Don't get me wrong. How about just take a flyer off the subway platform? And that's it. Now, to say that or write that, people read that probably. If I hear it at a meeting, you know, with somebody, I go, thanks for sharing it. Other people go, wow, this guy's. But my point is, like, I've already got phone calls. The book's been out for about 2 weeks. I've received 3 or 4 phone calls from friends and from family and said they want to talk. Wow. You know what I mean? So my point is, this is why I think I chose to do it. Just because, hey, man, if you're having these feelings, and maybe I romanced it and I show some history, and then people read this stuff, maybe possibly family and friends, and a little bit like, wow. But you know what? It's me. It's what happened. And, you know, like I said, writing a memoir, the first one, maybe I should have waited for the second book. Yeah. But I chose to do it this way, you know? And it's been interesting, and I love it. And I'm trying to keep it positive. I've never done this before. And you know what? I'm glad I'm here with you, and I'm glad I got to know you from watching you and what you do. Faith and fellowship. My life is this way because of faith and fellowship. So it was like when I heard, was not skeptical at all. I heard your podcast, the name of it, and I was attracted to it.
Yeah, I like what you said earlier too. Like, addiction does come at a cost, and for a while it's fun, and then eventually you're bankrupt and don't have any more to give. And that's when your life's at rock bottom and something has to give. And I experienced that myself. It wasn't with alcohol. It was with drugs for me personally. But my life has been changed from 8 years ago, and my life has never been the same. And I am also continuing to work with people in the same to find freedom from their addiction, because I think that anybody can overcome their addictions through Christ. If Christ is the answer, the center, we can overcome, right? And so I'm excited to hear your story and for you to write this book and to share your story with other people, because just as someone told you, you're not unique, which you are. You have a unique story. However, there are so many people that can relate to this and need a book like this to overcome or to change something in their life. So, Kevin, thank you for writing this book and sharing it with us today on our show.
Dallas, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's really good to get to know you. You know?
Yeah. Do you have any more books in mind, or you think this is just one and done?
I do. I've you actually, do. Okay. I do. I'm not sure if it's going to be in my name, like it's going to be a third person, but stories possibly that I've seen when I, you know, The first day I went down for the interview, I got interviewed at the, at a beautiful bar that we used to hang out across the street, but I got interviewed there. And over the last, well, that was in 86. So we're talking almost 38 years I've been down there, you know, home now for the last three. But how many people are not around here no more on this earth? How's that?
Right.
You know, a lot of divorces, a lot of things, you know, and how people find. And by the way, it only touches a certain amount of people. You could take, you know, say 20 people. And out of those 20, maybe 18 are going to be fine. 17, you know, same thing with marijuana these days, too. You know, you never know. You could have people try it. Fine. Doesn't affect their lives. They go on. They get up, go to work, have a family. But anyway, the alcohol affected me eventually. By the time I got down there, I was like, you know, I was already locked and loaded. And then they gave me a corporate card. But I was pretty sharp to get the job done. And I made money. And then being in recovery was probably the best thing for business that ever happened to me. Because I hooked up with people that would, instead of going to the bar, we go to the gym. Then go out for a nice meal. And guess what? When you're not drinking, you get home by 10 o'clock. You can get up in the morning, get to work, and perform a great, you know, day's work, you know. And there's been so many pluses. This experience writing a book has kind of opened up a can of worms. Like, my stomach has been like a little bit churned up because of the stuff that people are either texting me, talking to me about. Then I haven't spoken to all my family members, and now I'm probably overthinking certain things about anything. But honestly, the memoir I did for a reason, and if I didn't sell another book, I would look at it as being like the people I've already talked to over the last 2 weeks. I feel worth it, and I really believe that because, as you know, that one person's life, man, that's special, and you know, they gave it to me. Somebody, maybe somebody showed you what to do. You know, you go through Christ. I, my two words every day, my first two words when I wake up is thank you. They are. And then I say, please, because I need more help.
Right.
Just because I'm sober doesn't mean I can't be a better father, a better husband, a better commuter, a better driving around town. You know, say hello to people, be nice, get your head up. You know, it's always not about me. And these are things I've learned through other people. I'm so self-centered. You know, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. Somebody said that one time. Because I'm always thinking about me, 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 me.
And that's
you know?
The and culture. And that's so normal nowadays, right?
I know.
So when we can serve other people, I mean, you're going to be somebody different on the street every day, right? Why did you do that? You're not going to get anything from holding the door open for me. Why did you do that, you know?
Right.
And it starts a conversation. And so that's great, Kevin. I have one more question for you. What would you say to those listeners today who may be listening and maybe who have maybe this problem that nobody knows about, or maybe they have a problem that everyone knows about? What would be your advice for those people listening today?
Reach out to somebody. Don't be afraid to reach out. There's a lot of different ways. I know people who don't drink no more and they don't even attend no recovery meetings or whatever. And you know, God bless them. That's not for me. It's, you know, but I would say there's so many avenues. You can call a doc, go to your doctor, get a physical, say, you know what, I think my drinking, and then do some research. And unfortunately, sometimes people try to control it. That's the biggest thing I think people try to do. If I was drinking, you know, 9 beers or 6 drinks, maybe I'll take it to 2. That just wasn't me. But I would say reach out to somebody. There's plenty of help and support. There's actually millions of people, as you probably know, that really want to help, you know, and but you're right, the stigma of not, you know, drinking or not even getting high these days. I live in New York State, you know. I'm not sure about what's happening down in Brazil. You're in Brazil, right?
I just moved back to the States last week, so
gosh,
I'm
welcome
kind of
back,
having
man.
This I'm back, but it's interesting.
Yeah. But honestly, I have to tell you, Dallas, I have a big problem now with this marijuana in New York. Is legal. I was down in South Carolina in my house. I didn't smell it once in 9 days, 8 days. Back here, I went out before to get something for the computer so I can talk to you and put you on the Ethernet, right? You know, I needed an adapter. I smell pot twice. So what I'm saying is it's out there, marijuana. There's drinking going on, drugs, you know, and it's scary with the drug situation now. You could buy something that in the old days you could buy something, and now it's laced with you know what, and people are dying left and right.
Right.
And then people, you know, I just read a couple of stories. It just makes me sad. Sometimes I read these stories and it affects me, saying, you know, I would have helped that guy. Why, you know, it's too bad that he didn't reach out. But then also, too, you have to realize you have a problem, right? And then you've got to be able to say, I need help. and accept the help. And then once you're shown a like a pathway, there's that you got to do some work.
Right.
You know, look at mm-hmm. you're doing, you know, and that comes from by myself sometimes. The most important part of the day is the quiet time mm-hmm. in the morning for me, the prayer, the meditation, the reminders. I'm sitting here right here and I have this board over here with all these post-its, you know what I mean? And I have awareness, surrender, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, a gratitude list every day. These are things I wish I could take credit for and put a copyright on. These are things that was passed down to me. So why not pass it down to somebody else?
Right.
Maybe the way I wrote the book was all the down and dirty in the beginning of what I did when I was younger. Maybe that kind of like had a maybe people's eyes opened up and said, you tell me this guy did all this and now he doesn't drink 30 years later. And, right. you know, I'm still married. I'm raising my kids. I'm working. I'm still having a positive impact. But now I think it's another layer I peeled off by writing the memoir because I want to maybe, hey, do something different. You know what you do for a living? I'm interested, honestly, right. you know, because I think there's people out there doing this. I listen to 3 or 4 sober podcasts. And they've helped me. I'll be mm-hmm. out in the backyard raking leaves. I'll be on the boat fishing and I'll listen to it. And they talk about one thing going, yeah, that's, you know what? That's right. You know? And when somebody comes to me, I never like to give advice. All I can do is give my life experience, how mm-hmm. I did it. I don't preach. I don't point. I go, listen, mm-hmm. this is what I did. And, you know, right. keep searching, man. See, you know, search for help. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff's within, you know, and, I'm not really good at that. I don't think, you know, I'm from the West. We're from the United States, you know, Western minds. Like, you know, I read a lot of books about the Eastern like religions, like you really be mm-hmm. able to meditate. Meditation for me is like about 18.3 seconds. You know what I mean? Now I'm thinking about what time's the high tide. Mm-hmm. So I kind of laugh at that, but I have to constantly try, be yeah. quiet, you know, be quiet. A lot of it has to do with fitness. I rode my bike yesterday outside. I'm not sure today it's raining, but every other day, 13, 14 miles religiously. Wow. I work out 7 days a week. I still do. And that's what I do. And that honestly, the working out for me kind of gets me breathing. My diaphragm goes and my heart opens up and the world gets a little bit bigger and my problems don't seem as big, you know, because I think deep down my problems I want to get to. They want to get me in a corner, get mm-hmm. me angry. Get me pissed, but eventually what? Get me drunk.
Right.
That's what I look. That's my point. So,
yeah. You know. I want to say one more. I have a statistic actually that I saw a few days ago. I want to read that for our audience, but then I'm going to point our audience to your book for the reason of the statistic. So I saw the other day that every single day in the United States, 190 drug addicts and alcoholics die of their addiction every day. 190. That's the size of a 737 airplane. Could you imagine if every single day in America, a 737 fell out of the sky and killed 190 people? But because they're drug addicts and alcoholics, we seem to kind of put that under the rug, right? But it's a problem. It's a growing problem in the U.S. and around the world as well. And so this is the need to read this book, Fish and Water, An Irishman's Journey to Sobriety, because we all need to overcome some type of addiction in our life. Maybe it's not drugs, maybe it's not alcohol, but maybe it's something else. And so we can all have this time and learn the things that you're teaching us in your book. So Kevin, I want to thank you for your time here today. One more time, your name, your book is titled Fish and Water, An Irishman's Journey to Sobriety. Kevin, where can we find this book?
It's available on Amazon for download, or you can buy a paperback or a hard copy. And mm-hmm. I have a website, kpharrington.com.
Okay, wonderful. So that will also be in the link in the description. So please check that out. And as we end here, Kevin, can I have you pray for our audience? That would be excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone listening or watching today who's struggling with an addiction or any other struggle in their lives, that they know they're not alone. And they come to you in faith and love and ask for help. Show me how I can be of service and help the next person that comes into my life. Help me to be a more patient, loving husband, father, brother, friend, or human being. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You've just listened to the Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast. with your host, Pastor Chris Buescher. Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast was recorded live in studio with final editing made before uploading. Subscribe today to Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast on iTunes or Google Play. For more fantastic daily content, visit Pastor Chris Buescher online via Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Don't miss the next episode on Faith and Family Fellowship Podcast.